In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I was just commenting to Father Steve last week, after we celebrated the glorious nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, about the symbolism that we've been seeing in this story as it's progressed. Last week, that beautiful symbolism of the three magi as they came with the gifts, proclaiming who he was. And particularly, what struck out to me was when he spoke about the swaddling clothes of the baby laying in the manger, and how they forefigured for us the clothes that would be wrapped around him in his burial. All of these events that we're looking at in this great, glorious celebration of what we call the Winter Paschal Festival all point forward to who he is and what he is doing for us. And today is no different. Here in the middle of this celebration, beginning with the birth, culminating at the end of the week when we're going to celebrate Jesus going into the waters of his baptism for us, here today is a powerful story. And we only really get to hear about this, practically speaking, once every 7 years because it falls on January 1st. And not a lot of us are able to go to church to celebrate the circumcision that the church celebrates every year. But when it falls on Sunday, we can look at it in particular. The circumcision of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is so important for us. And there are three things that were in this gospel today about the circumcision that we're going to look at particularly. And I want to reiterate for you once again the gospel and the words we're going to look at. At the end of 8 days, he was circumcised. He was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Circumcision. What was it? Circumcision was, of course, the Old Testament covenantal sacrament, if you will, by which one would enter into become the covenant people of God. It had its beginning, as we read about in the book of Genesis, chapter 17, where God spoke to Abraham, beginning to build that covenant with the people of Israel. And what were the words that he spoke to them? The Lord said, "I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant with you. As for you, you must keep my covenant. This is my covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision as a sign of the covenant between me and you, says the Lord. My covenant is an everlasting one in your flesh. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken the covenant." So we see the importance of circumcision in the Old Testament. It is how you became a part of that covenant. But it was not just the ritual itself that was important. It was what was behind the ritual. The Lord later on spoke of the spiritual significance of it. In Deuteronomy, for example, a spiritual interpretation was given to the Israelites concerning circumcision. "God commanded Israel," said Moses in Deuteronomy, "circumcise your hard-heartedness and be stiff no longer." And we would see later on in the story of Israel, when Israel turned against God, turned against the covenant, broke the covenant with God, our Lord called them back to the importance of circumcision, not just the rite, but what it truly meant. When the prophet Jeremiah, speaking to the erring people of Israel, said these words of our Lord, "If you will return to me, O Israel, put away your detestable idols and no longer go astray. Break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among you thorns any longer. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts, you men of Judah and you people of Jerusalem. For the Lord, circumcision for his Old Testament people entailed total commitment, total devotion to the Lord. In the words of our Lord himself, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and your neighbor as yourself. This is what you entered into when you came into that covenant people through circumcision. And now we have Jesus today, who is being circumcised as a child, first of all, of Israel, a member of the covenant nation. Christ's circumcision proved to be both the fulfillment of the commandments of God and all of the Old Testament preparation for his coming, and also a sign of future events. Just like I said as I started the sermon today, we thought about the swaddling clothes and it pointed forward to the burial cloths. Here in the circumcision was the first occasion of our Savior's shedding of his precious blood. Again, as God told Abraham in those words in Genesis 17, now the words come to fruition in this Jesus, God incarnate, the covenant shall be an everlasting one in the flesh of Christ. How absolutely powerful that even here as a baby, here more so symbolically the cross, overshadowed the Lord Jesus Christ as he laid in that crib, by swaddling bands bound. The knife which cut the Lord's flesh on that day did as the great Saint Cyril of Jerusalem preached to his people. And Saint Cyril was preaching this in some of his catechism sermons to those newly baptized into Christ. He spoke of this foreshadowing. He said, circumcision foreshadowed the centurion's spear which would pierce Christ's side, releasing the saving torrent, the blood and the water. That torrent drowned the law's type, the Old Testament type, and shadow, and gave birth to the font, to holy baptism. In that day in which our Savior was circumcised, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Old Sacrament ended, and the new was coming forth. That font is what St. Cyril said. Our baptism, that's the new circumcision. And that's why at the end of this week, as a culmination of all these events, we are going to celebrate Jesus going into the waters of the Jordan for baptism. For that's where the new covenant begins for us. In holy baptism, the new circumcision is done. St. Paul proclaimed in Colossians chapter 2 these words, in him, Jesus Christ, also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. And you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. That's the real working of Christ now for us. Circumcision is no longer, it is past, it is gone. Even though, as we read in the book of Galatians, there were some in the early church who were trying to turn Christians back to circumcision. They were trying to insist that this physical circumcision was required to become a member of the new Israel, of the Christian church. But again and again, Paul proclaimed, no, it is not so. Did you hear the words this morning in the epistle? He said, let no one take you prey by philosophy and empty deceit. In Christ you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. And he would go on in the whole rest of the book of Galatians to talk about how we cannot be taken back to that old covenant. We are being freed in Christ. And he goes on in the book of Galatians to say what the real circumcision without hands is to be doing. In the book of Galatians, he says these things to us. Get to them real quickly here. So I tell you, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other. If you are led by the law, by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you are no longer under the law. Remember, he's talking to these people against those who are trying to have them circumcised again, come under the old covenant. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, envy, drunkenness. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So Paul says, as in the Old Testament, Jeremiah had said to the people of ancient Israel, circumcise your hearts. Circumcise the real place where the problems begin. Circumcise, cut away, get rid of those things. And why can we do that with assurance? Because of what our Savior did beginning this day with his own circumcision, by his own shedding of the blood, which would culminate on that Good Friday when he on that cross shed his blood to cover our sins and make us new. By his circumcision today, he shows forth to us that a new covenant has come. And that is why those two other things that are important in this gospel today. Do you notice what day it was on which our Savior was circumcised? Do you remember the number?
Eighth.
Eighth. Now, we know in the Old Testament that the number seven was the highest. It was the day of Sabbath. Our Lord said, 6 days you shall labor, on the seventh shall be the day of rest. But now all of a sudden he brings into play this number eight. And in the Old Testament, when he told them to circumcise those children on the eighth day, it was pointing forward to a new day that was coming in the flesh of Jesus Christ our Lord. The eighth day is a mystical day, a holy day, a day of salvation. It is the new day, the new covenant. It would come because our Lord and Savior, in his own death and resurrection, brought about this new day, this holy eighth day, this day of the new creation that all of us have entered into now through our baptism, and which we continue in when we come back to our baptism and again in repentance circumcise those things of the flesh that Paul was talking about in Galatians. It was on that eighth day, that new day, he was given the appropriate name, Jesus. Jesus. In Hebrew, the one who saves. The one above all. The Savior into whose name we are now baptized. And we now return again and again in repentance. So friends in Christ, let us celebrate greatly this day. And let us think about the words of the hymn that was sung. Our human form hast thou taken on thyself without change, O greatly compassionate Master. Though being by God, by nature God, fulfilled the law, thou willingly received circumcision in the flesh, that thou mightest end the shadow and roll away the veil of our sinful passions. Glory be to thy goodness unto us. Glory be to thy compassion. Glory, O Word, to thine inexpressible condescension. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.